Hi, I'm Caroline, a yoga teacher with a special interest in menopause based in Edinburgh.
And hi, I'm Dr. Clara, GP with a special interest in menopause based in North London.
Together, we are the Menopause Sisters and we're here to guide and support you through your menopause journey. Hello and welcome to the Menopause Sisters show. And today we're delighted to introduce Melinda McDougall, who's a registered medical herbalist and passionate about helping women have a healthy and happy menopause. And we're just delighted actually, because we get a lot of questions, don't we, Claire, around what alternative remedies there might be if somebody doesn't want to take HRT or in addition to HRT. So thank you, Melinda, so much for joining us today.
Yeah, it's my absolute pleasure to be here with you. Thanks.
It is actually really lovely to be speaking to someone about what alternatives there are to HRT, because we know that HRT isn't for everybody. You may not choose to take it, you may not want to take it, you may not be able to take it. So having that holistic approach is really helpful. So thank you for joining us. And I really wanted to start by finding out from you a bit about what herbal medicine is. What is herbal medicine?
So herbal medicine is the oldest form of medicine on the planet. You know, the history of herbal medicine really is the history of medicine itself, you know, and a lot of our modern day pharmaceutical medicines are actually derived from plant medicines, you know, and many of them still use, you know, plant constituents in the pharmaceutical medicines. But with herbal medicine, we sort of take a slight step backwards from pharmaceutical medicine, because we like to use the whole plant extracts rather than just taking one molecule from that plant and perhaps synthesizing it into a drug. So we like to use whole plant extracts. So it's not homeopathy. That is a different system of medicine. And herbal medicine, you know, when you come to see a herbalist, you might, it is a little bit like seeing a GP, you know, because we will, you know, ask you about your digestion and your blood pressure and all that sort of stuff. But we do take a sort of a more sort of holistic rounded view and look at, you know, your general health from a 360 degree perspective. But, you know, we work with teas, like herbal teas, or we might also work with, you know, herbal tablets. So the herbs have been compounded into a tablet. And I mainly work with tinctures, which are a liquid form of the herbal medicine, which is an alcohol, a low alcohol extraction, which preserves the chemical constituents of those plants and also makes it very bioavailable in the body. So that's my favorite way of working with herbs.
And so when we're thinking about treating, I mean, obviously we're here to talk about perimenopause and menopause and other things, but when we're thinking about that holistic approach, essentially in a consultation, and a woman comes with a whole variety of perimenopausal or menopausal symptoms, how would you start to clarify what it is that she might need? What's your approach to that sort of scenario?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So the first time I see someone, I'll talk to them for 90 minutes and I'll go into a lot of detail. And, you know, we'll look at her symptoms, so what she's really wants some help with. But then we'll also dig a bit deeper and really look at all the different body systems, like your digestive system, your cardiovascular system, look at your diet, look at, you know, what, you know, your emotional life as well, because stress is such a huge factor. You know, and actually we don't talk enough about cortisol in menopause. You know, we talk about estrogen and progesterone, but actually cortisol is huge, you know, and being quite stressed and having high cortisol levels makes your menopausal symptoms worse. So yeah, I'll spend a lot of time getting to know someone so that I can then go away and work out which herbs are the right ones to give her.
And I guess you're treating the person as a whole in that holistic approach. And is it a case of mixing herbs together? Or
yeah, so in one of my prescription. So everyone gets a different prescription from me. And obviously I have to take into account what drugs they're taking, what medication they're on as well, to avoid any interactions. But typically they'll receive a bottle from me that will have about 7 or 8 different herbal tinctures mixed together in a certain formula that I will calculate. So everyone will get that, and then they will normally take it twice a day, morning and night, just to keep the levels of those plant medicines up in their body. You know, and herbal medicine can work quite quickly on some things. So, you know, for example, mood and anxiety, it works quite quickly. But with hormone balance, you have to be a little bit patient, and it can take a few menstrual cycles for things to start calming down a bit if you're still menstruating.
Yes. Yeah. I'm really pleased you mentioned cortisol, because actually we had a workshop this weekend, and I will mention it. In the context of yoga, obviously, and in breathing and being able to, you know, hack into the hypothalamus and go, right, we can really use our breath to reduce the cortisol in our bodies and therefore alleviate symptoms. So thank you, Linda, because it's amazing, isn't it? Because I think, as you say, you know, we talk a lot about in perimenopause and menopause, the hormones, but actually if we can somehow reduce our stress levels, even just a little, then actually we're going to be able to alleviate quite a few symptoms, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think stress just has huge knock-on effects, because it messes up with your hormone balance. You know, and as you go through menopause, your estrogen levels change, and that actually dysregulates your cortisol levels as well. And also, the more, you know, when you're in that kind of fight or flight mode all the time, you know, you're telling your liver to release glucose, and then you end up, you know, with that lovely midriff muffin top that we all complain about in perimenopause as well. You know, so if you can take the stress levels down a little bit, and yeah, yoga is a great way of doing that, and breathing exercises, you can get some pretty easy wins from that.
Can you tell us a bit more about that glucose, that sugar control in the perimenopause, and why that's so important? Because it's often a question that's asked, isn't it, in our workshops, particularly, why am I gaining this weight, and what's going on with it? You know, I can't eat what I used to eat, and what's that all about?
Well, it's really interesting, because you know, I've been talking to women for a long time about regulating their blood sugar levels in perimenopause and menopause, because when we have those blood sugar spikes, it does knock your hormones out of balance. And you know, we're not just talking about cakes and sweets, but also the white processed carbohydrates that turn into sugar very quickly. And so I've talked to women for a long time about, you know, reducing sugar and swapping white carbohydrates for brown carbohydrates and things like slow release carbohydrates. But as you mentioned, Claire, there's just been some really interesting research that's come out just this week from the Zoe study, which really finally for me puts this into black and white. And, you know, they've actually measured how your blood glucose changes as you go through perimenopause and menopause, and that, you know, you get more insulin resistance, and your body is not able to respond so quickly and readily when it has these sugar spikes. So things don't drop back down to a normal blood sugar balance, you know, as they did when you were younger. And so I was really excited to read this research. And it also mentions the role of the microbiome and how that also changes as we go through menopause. And, you know, we're just at the start of this exciting new research to try and understand, you know, how this impacts us and what we can do about it. But certainly, you know, it just puts into concrete this whole notion of, you know, eating well can really help you in the menopause.
And we talk about, you know, and there's an estrogen receptor in every cell of a woman's body. And actually, so we know that, you know, the estrogen is needed for the digestive system, for example. It's key, isn't it? That kind of gut brain axis as well. And so it's wonderful when you're kind of proven right or it's something you've seen in patients perhaps, and I'm sure Dr. Claire has as well, and then actually you can see it in black and white, just like you say in the Zoe study, kind of clarifying it for people as well, because actually there's that element of trying to change your diet or what you're eating can be a real challenge at this time in your life. But it's just thinking a little bit more about exactly what you're eating and when you're eating it. And it's not huge changes, is it? It's not huge changes at all. It's just a few swap outs, like you were saying, the kind of brown bread into the white bread. And we never say never.
Yeah.
Because that's not much fun.
No.
Just beginning to make that 70 or 80% or something like that, you're gonna begin to find quite a big change, aren't you?
Yeah, and actually, Claire, you've probably seen this, but, just recommending like a low GI diet, which is obviously very beneficial to prevent diabetes as well. That has so many health benefits, no matter whether you're male or female, really. And I'm sure you see the benefits of keeping blood sugar stable in your practice as well.
I think it's really interesting, actually, because at the moment we're thinking about it so much, health professionals in general are thinking about it so much more holistically. A few years ago, thinking about prebiotics, thinking about how much can a diet and our lifestyle impact on our health was there, but it was sort of, down the list. And the go-to for a lot of people were a prescribable medicine or, something that was just a bit more harsh. And I think it's really lovely to know that this is being thought of now in a bit more, in a bit more of a joined up way, and that we're more than just drugs, essentially, aren't we? We're more than just pharmaceuticals.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Are there any particular remedies that you think about as your go-to for symptoms of the perimenopause, or is it like a bit like HRT in that respect, that it's very individualized?
It is very individualized, but there are definitely some key herbs that I find myself prescribing over and over again, and particularly with the perimenopause, because women experience a lot of erratic menstrual cycles and increased symptoms of PMS. I often find myself prescribing Agnus castus, which might be something you might have heard of. It's also called Vitex, and it's also called chaste tree berry. And you only need a very small amount of it. So I just usually give it in drop doses to my patients. And over the course of, say, 3 months, you can really see, for example, if a woman is having a period every 2 weeks, which is incredibly annoying, as you get into your sort of late 40s, that can be a really common thing. But you can really see over the course of, say, a 3 month period, women's menstrual cycles really shifting back into more of a sort of, 4 week cycle. And that can really help with all sorts of things, because, if you're experiencing heavy bleeding and if you're getting premenstrual symptoms, you don't want to be experiencing that every 2 weeks, So that's one that I love, and I'm always giving that to patients. Black cohosh is another one that is very well known, and that is a real miracle herb to me because it has a lot of benefits. So it can help with things like hot flushes and night sweats. It can help with brain fog. Mm. And it's also very good for joint stiffness and joint pain. And it's a real good kind of all-rounder for the menopause. So that's another one I really love. You know, so many women come to me with a lot of anxiety and mood problems, you know, which is a lot to do with the, you know, the fluctuations in progesterone that they're getting. And there's some really great herbs for, you know, to treat all that sort of stuff. So one of them is called Skullcap, which is a bit of a scary name, but it's a really calming herb. It's great for anxiety, but it's not sedative in any way. And you can take that as a tea. So that's very easily available as a tea or as a tincture. And then, of course, you've got the lovely St. John's wort as well, which, as long as you're not taking other medication, can be a real boost to you. Yeah, so there's a lot of really great ones. Oh yes, and also one of my favorites that I put in all my prescriptions is dandelion root.
Oh yeah.
Because we really need to look after our livers in menopause and perimenopause, because that's where we metabolize our hormones. And if they're not being excreted out of the body properly, you can run into all sorts of issues. And, you know, so many women have digestive problems, you know, like constipation, you know, diarrhea. And, you know, that's one thing I really spend a lot of time working on, getting people's digestive function working and their livers working properly, because otherwise you're in a lot of trouble, I think, with hormone imbalance. You know, and that's a real cornerstone of most of my treatments, I have to say. So there's a few there for you.
there's a lot. I mean, I think it's a lovely individualized approach, really, in terms of how you're seeing a perimenopausal woman. It's really refreshing, isn't it?
I think it's really, it's lovely to hear this, you know, the combination, some of your favorites there, because I think for many women it's, well, I just want to be able to find something quite easily, you know, and they're just accessible if they don't want to take HRT, and just knowing that there's, you know, there are herbal medicines that you can take, herbal remedies you can take, is just incredibly helpful. I'm quite interested in just maybe finding out with the clients you see, are there any particular symptoms that you see again and again? I know you said you see a lot of women with anxiety, but are there any symptoms that come up most sessions?
Definitely anxiety and mood issues. You know, heavy menstrual bleeding is a big one, and it's so debilitating and draining, and obviously leads to anemia as well. It can really wipe you out. Yeah. So that's something I do see a lot, as well as the erratic periods. Obviously, vaginal dryness is a big one as well. And I've had really great results actually giving people sea buckthorn vaginal dryness. So that's a great remedy for that. You know, there's a lot of migraines that go on as well. And, oh, insomnia is another classic, obviously. And, you know, God, if you don't get a good night's sleep, you know, it can, oh, it's disastrous, I think, you know.
Well, it just adds to the stress level as well, doesn't it? You know, it's this kind of suddenly this vicious circle, this vicious cycle, and it's just you're going round and round and round. So it's quite interesting. And that's interesting about sea buckthorn. There's lots of it up here in Edinburgh on the coast.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, lots and lots. And there was a wonderful shop that used to make sea buckthorn sorbet that was delicious. But it's gone, unfortunately, I know. But I know, particularly as a capsule or an oil or as a supplement, is incredibly beneficial, isn't it?
Yeah, it's incredibly moisturizing and full of omega 6, so it's wonderful. Yeah,
I was gonna interject there that in that, you know, obviously you're giving us lots of good and amazing information, but we should just caveat all of this, shouldn't we? As women shouldn't just go off and take any various remedies out there. They really need to consult someone like yourself, who's a professional, who knows what they're doing and can use that individualized approach, just as we would with HRT, really.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I think something else that's really important to say is to, you know, if you are attempting to self-medicate, obviously, you know, be be careful, but also you need to make sure that whatever you're taking, you know, is of really good quality and also contains what it should be containing, because there are a lot of dubious things out there on the market, you know, and I think it gives, you know, herbalists and herbal medicine a bit of a bad name, because people go into health food shops and, you know, look on the shelves and take whatever's there, and then they get home and think, oh, that didn't work, and that's going in the bin, and I've just wasted, you know, £10 or whatever. And so you really have to do your research, and one thing that can really help is there is a logo called the THR logo, a traditional herbal remedy, and that's often a good mark of quality on a supplement, and it shows that it's been through some testing and actually does contain what it says on the packet. So yeah, there's a lot to think about, I guess, when it comes to herbal medicine, and there's a lot of really, you know, good information out there, but there is also dubious, you know, and incorrect information out there as well. So yeah, you need to know what you're doing.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? Because when you're in this transition, you're often, you can't see the wood for the trees, can you? So you often don't know what to look for, and it's useful to get that kind of expert guidance on what can help and what won't necessarily help. Because I know that we have between us have seen countless women who've been on 30 plus tablets, you know, and are spending an absolute fortune on things, and they still feel terrible. Yes. And, you know, if you get to that point, you need to be speaking to somebody about this, you know, don't you? You need to be getting that expert help.
Yeah.
And I think the key is, you know, it's herbal medicine. As you said to begin with, you know, it's an ancient form. It's almost the original form of medicine. And so depending on what you can put together as a practitioner, but also thinking, like you say, about, you know, really being very careful about what you're taking, looking at contraindications if you are on other medications, but also, as you said, thinking about the quality of it. So, you know, that £10 of whatever it might be, whilst that's a lot of money, it could, like you say, if it hasn't got the THR logo, be something very, very different. Are there any books that you recommend, Melinda? That's something I was going to ask, actually, or any sort of resources or anything that you would recommend if somebody wanted to start looking into this a little bit more. Was there any way you would send them?
Send them to Melinda's website. Yeah, that's what we need to be doing. Just send them to Melinda's website, which we'll list at the end, because I think it's a fabulous website.
Thank you.
It's a very beautiful website as well.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's funny. There's not so many books about that I refer to in terms of herbal medicine and menopause, but there's a really good book sort of nutritionally by a nutritionist called Nikki Williams that I think is really good. And I think it's called Happy Hormones for Life or something like that. But it's full of really good information about diet and supplements. And there are a few herbs in there as well. So that is a really good one. But yes, no, I obviously need to write one, don't I?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm intrigued about, because I've not come across, or we've not come across anything around, you know, herbal medicine and perimenopause and menopause specifically. So that's why I thought I'd ask. So that's quite, there we go. There's a book in the bag there.
That's your next project.
It's a gap in the market.
There is. I really think there is, because I think there's a need for it as an adjunct to everything else, just in the same way as we talk about, you know, we talk about HRT, and I talk about it a lot, don't I? I bang on about HRT a lot, but there's a need for it to exist side by side with a sort of a resource that is really evidence-based. And I think, you know, there's a lot out there about this, but really there isn't a lot about how to do it properly.
Yeah.
I find a lot of women just coming in, like we said before, just using things that, you know, I as a professional say, I really don't know much about this. So, you know, maybe we could signpost them to a resource that would help.
Yes, no, you're right. I need to write this book.
Well, sorry, I've just given you the work.
Because it's interesting because, you know, I have a master's degree in herbal medicine. And when I was doing my master's degree, I knew I wanted to specialize in menopause. Mm. And I spent a whole year analyzing research papers on herbal medicine and what worked in menopause, what doesn't work in menopause. And then I went into practice and, you know, I've been able to see that actually, you know, happening with my patients, you know, what works, what doesn't work, you know, because I get their feedback, you know, and they come back and tell me, you know, oh, this has changed or this hasn't changed. And, you know, we adjust the prescription accordingly. And so, you know, yeah, there's a lot of, I think you're right. I think there is a need for that kind of resource to be made available, you know, not only to women, but also to professionals as well in the field. So they can, you know, they can look at it because, you know, sadly, I have been to a lot of talks where, you know, doctors will get up and talk about HRT. And then there's always a woman in the audience who says, excuse me, what about, is there anything else I can take?
Yeah, exactly.
And 9 times out of 10, the doctor will say, no, it's all a load of rubbish, throw it all in the bin. And, you know, and then I sit in the audience and say, hang on a sec. It does actually work, you know, but you have to know what you're doing. So yeah, I think there's a lot of education that needs to go on.
I think these are the healthy discussions that we need to be having, aren't they? Because there's still, in a similar way to how HRT perhaps was 5 or 6 years ago, a big kind of flat, no, HRT is terrible and it causes all sorts of problems. Mm. In a similar way, things are starting to change with alternative medicine as well. And I think that's really, really helpful. And I wanted to pick up on what you said about, you know, reviewing your clients, that when they come back and they say that perhaps some symptoms are still there or some have got better. Do you find that in the same way that I find I have to tweak doses, I have to make it, do you find that quite common in your practice?
Yeah, definitely, because everybody's so different. And, you know, some women need, you know, horse tranquilizer kind of doses, whereas other women are incredibly sensitive and just a tiny amount of my medicine will affect them. So that's why it's so important to have this ongoing dialogue with them and to, you know, keep checking back in with them all the time. And also, you know, because they're circumstances may change, their medication may change, and I have to adapt accordingly. But, you know, once we get someone onto a prescription that's working really, really well for them, you know, I tend to just post them out kind of, you know, monthly repeat prescriptions, you know, very much like a GP. And, you know, we just work on that basis until they get to the point where they feel, you know, okay, maybe I'm ready to have a break from this. Let's see what my symptoms are like without the medicine. So, you know, because it is medicine, as you say, it's another form of a drug, what I'm giving them. And so my ultimate aim is to get people off the drugs, you know, as much as possible and to try to bring their bodies back into balance again, you know. So yeah, it's an ongoing dialogue.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And also, you know, I should say that I do have a lot of clients who take HRT and take herbal medicine at the same time, you know, because maybe there are certain symptoms that the HRT isn't helping with and that I can help with, or, you know, perhaps they've got other medical conditions that they want some other help with, you know. So yeah, there's a, you know, so I have all different types of clients. So ones that are on the HRT, ones that would like to come off the HRT, one that have tried the HRT and that it didn't really work for them. Or then I've got the ones who just never want to ever try it, you know, so the whole spectrum really. Yeah. So it's an interesting combination.
And we often talk about that though as well, you know, it's not just going to be one approach. And we've mentioned nutrition, and you were talking about blood glucose a little earlier, but you know, glucose levels. So, you know, there's the nutrition, there's the movement. We talk about movement rather than exercise because that seems a bit gentler and kinder. But also, you know, yes, there is HRT and there is breath work. There is so much around that, and it actually often it's a little bit of everything or a little bit of two or three things coming together, isn't it? And you mentioned, Melinda, about tinctures. Are they stronger in some way? Are they more powerful or potent than, say, a tablet formulation? I just wondered about that.
Yes, definitely. And the amount of medicine that you can get into, say, a 5 mL dose of a tincture, you can pack a lot more into that tincture than you might get in a tablet. You know, you might have to take 3 or 4 tablets to get the equivalent of that little liquid dose of a tincture. And there's different strengths of tinctures as well. So you can have quite weak ones, or it's all about the ratio of the amount of plant material that's been put in compared to the amount of liquid that's been put in to extract it. So yeah, there's all different ratios and strengths of tinctures. And I tend to work with quite strong, high ratio tinctures, so that my clients will get, you know, a really good kind of rapid result, and it's very, very bioavailable for them. So yeah, it's very, you know, there's a lot of chemistry involved, really.
I was going to say, it's really quite complicated hearing you talk about it. It's quite a lot of, I guess, yeah, chemistry in what you do.
Yeah. And, you know, we do actually study plant chemistry when we're training, and we learn about plant chemistry and how, you know, plants interact with the body, you know, because obviously, for example, you've got, you know, phytoestrogens, which have the same molecular structure as the hormones in our body, the estrogen hormones, and, you know, will sit on the estrogen, the plant molecules will sit on the estrogen receptors in our body. And I just find that fascinating. Yeah. That, you know, we have evolved alongside plants on this planet, you know, and that they've been our, you know, our allies for so long in evolutionary terms, that they actually mimic the hormones that are in our, I mean, I just find that absolutely fascinating, you know, and we see that a lot now with, you know, all the research that's going on with the cannabinoid system and the effect of, you know, CBD and cannabis in the body. And, you know, the fact that we have receptors in our body that respond to, you know, those plants, I find it absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. You know. Totally. I think it's incredible that the idea that there's plants out there that we haven't really fully discovered, and yet we know, you know, that there's going to be incredible properties to those plants and the healing. I mean, as we know from time before, you know, the healing properties of plants predate us and will go much further beyond us. So it's absolutely fascinating. I think the science of it is wonderful.
And it's coming back to it though, isn't it? You know, we've been talking about holistic approach, but you know, before, say, I often call it Western medicine, don't we? But you know, that kind of what we know as Western medicine now, before that, as we were saying, this is what you would look to, Mother Earth. And we're slowly coming back round to the idea of actually there's a reason. There's a reason, as you say, we were living side by side to so many remedies and so many things that can help us as well.
Yeah, and I think that sort of schism in medicine that, you know, has been going on for, say, about, you know, 200 years, maybe 150 years, it's kind of, we're slowly coming round again, we're coming back together again, which I think is really lovely, you know, and should be really fostered.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because I just think there's so much work to be done together that can be incredibly powerful. And so many drugs that possibly would not be needed to be prescribed by a Western doctor as such.
Yeah.
Tell us what your website is, Melinda, please, so we can direct everyone to it.
Sure. So it's just my name, melindamacdougall.com.
And are you doing online consultations at the moment?
Yes. My whole practice is online at the moment. Just shifted over to that through the pandemic, and I've decided to stay that way because I've just been able to obviously reach so many more people. And yes, so I do online consultations, and I have clients, you know, all over Europe actually.
That's incredible.
That's brilliant. I was just going to say it's fantastic because actually this, you know, will reach so many people, and knowing that they can actually speak to somebody who specialises in herbal medicine for perimenopause and menopause is like gold dust, isn't it?
It is, because actually we do a lot of, I mean, we do workshops, but a lot of the people we speak to are based in the UK, can only really practice around the UK. So actually knowing that there's someone that can get in touch with you, potentially have a online consultation in Europe is wonderful. I love that. I might have to come and see you myself.
Yeah, please do. Please do. You know, because the thing is, I love working with women going through this stage of life. And, you know, we hear a lot of negative things about menopause and how awful it is and how much we're all going to suffer and how much we should all be afraid of it. But, you know, I often see incredibly positive things come out of menopause, and just this particular stage of life can really, you know, I just see amazing transformations happen in women's lives, you know, where they really start to decide, you know, what they want out of life and really go for it. And that's quite exciting to be a part of, you know, as a practitioner.
Absolutely. And there's that analogy of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, that sort of, you know, almost that's transformation. It's like the second puberty, isn't it, often called that as well?
Yeah, the but second just, spring.
Yeah, yeah. It's absolutely possible for it to be incredibly positive. It's just being able to have the tools to navigate it and the information, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of good that can come out of menopause.
Thank you so much for joining us, Melinda, today. That's been incredibly helpful, incredibly informative, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, and good luck with the rest of your podcast series.
Thank you.